This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
You're listening to my daddy on News Radio 1070, WINA, Charlottesville. Right now!
Right now!
Right now!
Right now!
Right now! Right now!
Thirty-six minutes after 4 o'clock in Central Virginia, I am Coy Barefoot, and this is Charlottesville Right Now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA, 81 degrees. Happy Tuesday. Coming up in the next hour, we'll talk with Brian Wheeler, get our Tuesday growth and development update. Looking forward to that. Stay with me. Chris Graham is the founder and editor of the Augusta Free Press, online at AugustaFreePress.com. He joins us on occasion to give us the Valley update. Let us know what in the world is going on over the mountain. Chris, how are you, my friend?
I am great, Coy. How are things over on the other side of the hill?
Very, very good. Very good. I'm getting ready to get a dog. I found out, it's a long story. My sister's getting transferred, or her husband's getting transferred to Europe, and they have a dog. And I'm the last resort. I was the last phone call. Please take this dog. So
I've got a dog sitting on my lap right now who sort of fell into our lap literally that way a few years ago. Crystal's sister, my wife's sister, had a child and decided that they didn't need to have the competition between a puppy and a child. So right. Now we have a great dog.
There you go. Well, I asked her. I said, "Well, if I get attached to this thing, I don't want to give him back when y'all come back after 2 years." And she said, "If you get attached, he's yours." So it's a gulp 100-pound Chesapeake Bay Retriever named Buddy. And so I'm just preparing.
I've got an 8-pound miniature poodle, different role completely.
Chris Graham, the AugustaFreePress.com. Chris, where should we start? How about some Waynesboro politics?
Yeah, Waynesboro politics. And, of course, it actually plays into development issues, too, so we can get some meat out of that. But last May's elections, in which I actually was a candidate, turned out very good for the hardline conservatives in Waynesboro, at least it appeared at the time. Tim Williams, who's now our mayor, was reelected and was elected on a ticket along with the new vice mayor now, Frank Lucent, and Bruce Allen. And on a five-member council, those three looked to really turn things in a hardline conservative direction. And that was the expectation, and really for the first maybe 6-8 months or so of the fiscal year starting July 1st, it looked like that was definitely going to be the case. But Tim Williams, now the mayor, has sort of evolved, it seems. I mean, he'll tell you that if that's not the case, that really he's still holding true to his conservative principles. But it's sort of mirroring the divide we've seen in state and national politics among Republicans in the last several years, where Republicans have really divided along moderate versus conservative lines. And the moderates will still call themselves conservatives, but they'll say that they recognize the need for investments in some infrastructure, maybe at the local or state levels, and at the national level, and some spending on national priorities like defense and education and that kind of thing. And we're seeing that come to Waynesboro. And so the first break we saw on this came in May, when the mayor sided with the two more progressive members of the council. I guess we can say progressive using that terminology for local politics. Lori Smith and Nancy Doughty to maintain the city's property tax rate at the rate it was before, and that was in contrast to the desires of the other two conservative members who had advocated for a 3-cent tax rate decrease. So that's the first step, but really we can see potentially down the road as Waynesboro faces some more development issues in the next couple of years that perhaps the split with Tim Williams now playing more of a centrist role, things might go differently than we'd expected, certainly last year at this time.
We're talking with Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press, online at AugustaFreePress.com, getting the Valley update. This is really interesting, Chris, because I remember when they were elected, the big news was, boy, the conservatives have swept Waynesboro and look for drastic reductions on property taxes and drastic reductions on investment in public infrastructure. The anti-tax, anti-government conservatives have won the day in Waynesboro. But looks like that's not necessarily the case. It looks like things have that this one moderate mayor is sort of swinging things the other way.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I've talked a lot with Mayor Williams the last I'd say 6 weeks or so. We've had several discussions about this, both on the record for Augusta Free Press and New Dominion, and just you know, more personally on the political level. And the sense I'm getting is, now this is Mayor Williams' second term. He was not mayor his first term on city council. He was just another member of the city council. But I think in part he's growing as mayor. He's still a young guy. Also, he's 43 years old. And one thing he mentioned to me was that among the five members of city council, he is the one member who still has children in the school system. And I think when he looked at the tax rate discussions of this spring, you know, he mentioned that a couple different times, at least publicly, and several times in private, that that knowing how the school system works from the inside, he also has served on the school board previous to this, that you know, he has a different view on school fiscal issues maybe than the other members of council does. I think maybe there's also a degree to this, as he's growing as mayor now, and he's now entering his second year as mayor, that he has that broader perspective of things, and we hear that coming from him when he talks about the funding issues in particular. What he says is he still considers himself a pretty, you know, solid conservative, but he also recognizes that you know, that there are needs out there that the city needs to meet. And of course, that's been the debate in Waynesboro the last, I'd say, 5 years or so. As we look to our future as a city, we've seen our industrial manufacturing job sector decline substantially, really the last 20 years or so. Those jobs have been replaced, at least in the interim, by the retail jobs in our growing West End, which serves, as we've talked here on your show many times, it serves the Crozet and even Charlottesville areas with our Home Depot and Lowe's and the Waynesboro Town Center with the Target and the Walmart and all that growth out there that dates back to 2002. But those jobs aren't long-term, community-sustaining kinds of jobs. So, you know, I think what we're seeing out of the mayor is what we see out of other, you know, conservatives and Republicans who've you know, ended up being criticized by their own party. He sees that you know, that things are a bit more complex than maybe the Grover Norquist wing of the Republican Party might recognize, and you know, and actually he's also seeing the same criticism that other Republicans who've you know, raised these issues in the last few years have gotten. He's actually been heavily criticized by you know, his own supporters and some of his prominent supporters from last year. I've talked with him about that, and he seems pretty comfortable with where he is right now, as far as, despite the fact he's faced that criticism, that you know, he's making the right moves right now.
It is. We're talking with Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press. It is really an interesting aspect of the Republican Party here in Virginia, and one that you're wise to point out. That schism plays out at the state level as well. We see that in Richmond all the time. You know, the anti-tax social conservatives, anti-government Republicans battling with the more moderate Republicans who do believe that you can make this country and Virginia a better place with some public investment in schools and infrastructure. And certainly the business community is often sides with the more moderate Republicans because, hey, they like good roads. You know, they yes. believe that, you know, a public investment in good roads is very good for business, and history has shown that to be the case.
And I think what we're seeing maybe at local levels, you know, we're seeing at local level in Waynesboro, we're seeing certainly at the state level, what Democrats have done successfully is to read those trade winds, so to speak. You know, we even see it again here in the last couple of weeks. Creed Eats, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, rolls out a group called Business Leaders for Deeds, which included some Republicans in that group. Just like last year, Mark Warner had a sizable moderate Republican and business background, you know, the people from that background backing his campaign. And you know, that's the thing. The business community is the ones really leading that effort to say we need to improve education for two reasons. One, it trains our workforce, and two, attractive education, attractive public schools can help attract business and industry as they're looking to make relocation decisions, and then the transportation issues too. It doesn't take much. A lot of our listeners here today are either have been on vacation already this summer, heading out on vacation. They'll be hitting those state highways, maybe 460 down towards the Outer Banks or 64 out to Virginia Beach, and they'll know, they either do know already or will know pretty soon just how interesting those transportation challenges are in that area. It doesn't take much to go to D.C., maybe to see a baseball game or do something fun in the summer up there with the museums to realize the transportation challenges we have up there. It's inhibiting commerce. It's inhibiting industry. And so Democrats right now are the ones saying we need to invest in business. Democrats didn't used to be that party. We used to be the Democrat. I say we. I'm also a progressive voter myself. And Democrats used to be the party that would actually come across as being anti-business now. But Mark Warner and Tim Kaine and people like that, Creed Eads, have pushed the party in a different direction. And Republicans, you have those moderates. A guy over here in our neck of the woods, Emmett Hanger, has been a leading proponent of moderation within the Republican Party. He's been outspoken on that, and he's also been criticized harshly for that within his own party the last several years. So I don't know that Virginia voters necessarily have changed that much. I mean, maybe there's a Northern Virginia influence that's turning things a little bluer, but I think what's really happened is that the two parties are coming at the problems that Virginia faces in different ways than they had in the past, and voters are simply reacting to that. So
I think most Virginians want government to do what it's supposed to do, do it well. You know, let's have good schools, let's have good roads, this kind of thing, and then just leave me alone and get out of my way.
Yeah, basically, if the government can create the makings of a good economy and then the roads and schools, and do it as efficiently as possible. If you don't have to raise the taxes, don't. If you can lower them, even better. But other than you're right. I think there is that bent to things here in Virginia. Has always been the case here in Virginia. And again, I just think what's happened in recent years is that the parties have shifted in their approaches to deal with that. And what's happened is Republicans have strayed away from that, which is what they used. I think that's what they did in the 80s and 90s. They built towards taking over state politics. They won those two governor's races in the 90s and took over the House, delegates, and Senate. They had done that more effectively. They've fallen away from that, and Virginia Democrats have seized upon that. So it's interesting, though, to see it at a local level like Waynesboro. Waynesboro is still, for a city in Virginia, it's pretty rare. Most of the time you look at the voting numbers in cities in Virginia and you see a Democratic tilt towards things, but Waynesboro has maintained, for the most part, a slight Republican lean. But even here with our conservative mayor, certainly coming across now as more of a centrist, we're even seeing it here in Waynesboro. Seeing that shift play itself out. So
that schism among conservatives, I like to sort of think of it as there being a difference between being pro-business and being pro-market, being pro-free market. And you often see the more hardline conservatives are pro-free market, but that's not necessarily being pro-business.
Well, that's a good point, and actually, we definitely see that schism itself here in Waynesboro. The remnants of that conservative faction would be led by the Vice Mayor Frank Lucent, and he'll tell you. He's told me many times in the past, "Hey, Chris, I'm not a Republican. I'm a Libertarian," and we know what that means. He means little L Libertarian, but what he means is he is hardcore in saying that he doesn't think that the city city government has a role to play at all in economic development. He would like to see the city step back from that and let, as you say, the free market play itself. He would like to see his downtown revitalization plan, for example, would be to have entrepreneurs come in and do something with downtown. And that's going to be the next, that's going to be the next debate we see amongst this group with two progressives, two libertarians, and then the centrist Tim Williams in the middle, is to see what happens with our downtown. There's a lot of pressure coming both from Augusta Free Press and from the News Virginian, which is a right-leaning newspaper. It's owned by Media Journal, sister paper of the Daily Progress here in Charlottesville, and it's taken a right-leaning stance on issues the last couple of years. And yet both our progressive-leaning publication, Augusta Free Press, and the right-leaning publication, the News Virginian, have been hardcore advocating for the city to develop and implement a downtown plan. In fact, Lee Wolverton, the editor of the News Virginian, and myself have joined forces in starting a task force, and we've been working for the last 6 or 7 months to come up with a plan to specifically give direction to the city at some point early next year to develop a white paper to push in that direction. So both sides of the political spectrum have come together on this. You have a lot of pressure on this issue, and I don't know where it's going to go. If Tim Williams stays in the center role, maybe we'll see some movement there. And if not, we'll continue to see the more libertarian approach, which would be really a standoffish approach, really.
We're talking with Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press, online at AugustaFreePress.com, getting our Valley update, find out what's going on over the mountain. You mentioned development. Remind us again some of these development projects that are slated for the Valley. We were talking about them a few months ago. A whole slew of new movie theaters are coming to Augusta County.
Yeah, if we actually see them come to fruition there. And Waynesboro is the first of the several that we saw pop up, a planned development that would include a space for retail, also a movie theater, and then also some high-end apartments that will be located, for your listeners in Charlottesville who are familiar, right behind the Home Depot on Windy Grove Drive there at the interstate exit 94, the west end where everything else in Waynesboro is, with the Lowe's and the Walmart and the town center across the interstate are all located. A planned movie theater there. Of course, Waynesboro, one of the few cities you'll see, certainly within our area, that does not have its own movie theater. The Wayne Theater down the street from me closed about 10 years ago. There are plans to renovate it into a performing arts center, but no movie theaters in Waynesboro, a city with 25,000 residents, no movie theaters. So, of course, that has a local attention. And
Stanton now, has, Chris Stanton has three.
Stanton has three and a couple within walking distance. They have the mall. They have a couple of the eclectic downtown ones. So,
So
Waynesboro definitely feels left out in that respect. And it would be a state-of-the-art, as proposed, a state-of-the-art Cineplex with stadium seating and all the amenities that you're used to. So, and then there's also plans for one out in Stanton. So it'd be the fourth. Technically, it's in Augusta County, but it's close enough to Stanton. In fact, it's within walking, short walking distance. You could walk 10 feet and be in Stanton from where this location is, at the Interstate 81 exit at, I think it's 227 or 225.
And this is the big development that's at the entrance to the Frontier Culture Museum?
Oh, no, on the down one exit where the Stanton Country Club is.
Oh, I got you.
One exit up more towards Verona, but it's the 275, 262 bypass out there.
It's the one exit between Stanton and Verona, which is just north of that.
That's correct. It's and we're talking about 1 million square foot of retail space, including a movie theater, but a lot more out there as well. So that's actually already gotten, the rezoning has already been approved by the County Board of Supervisors, County Planning Commission Board of Supervisors, voting on that, I believe it was last month. And so that's already been through the approval process. The project in Waynesboro is still in the review phase, actually. It's not even gone before the Planning Commission. There have been a couple of community meetings to look at the early plans, and I believe the Planning Commission might get a look at it later this year, might be the first of next year.
So the one on 81, which is just north of Stanton, that's approved. We could see the dirt moving there soon.
Theoretically, yeah. The rezoning is approved. You know, I don't think the site plans have been submitted for that yet. As of late, but you know, they have the rezoning approved. So really, it's just now a matter of going through that site plan.
And there's nothing out there right now. I think there's a little hotel, and otherwise, it's cows.
That's right. The other cows and the country club and with a golf course. And I say that, you know, I don't know that there are site plans approved, but I also know I've talked with some folks in the VDOT office there in Stanton, and so there actually have been, they've seen some drawings and they've seen some plans. They did some work. The VDOT office started working on this project last year. I believe it was last August, I was told. So I say no site plans, but that's not to say that there's not something that could easily be submitted within the next few days, even.
That's going to be huge. That's going to be huge, and that's going to bring so much development between Stanton and Verona along 81.
That's right, and that, as you say, it's cows and a little hotel, and I had the golf course in there. But it's a ripe area for development, and actually Stanton, on the other side of the city county limits line, has a good bit of space itself that could be developed. I don't know that there's any talk about that at this point. And, you know, further down the 262 bypass, there are some ag forest all districts that are in conservation. So it's in the city limits. You see cows and horses out there, and that land itself is preserved. But there is developable land in there on the city side of things too. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that in the next 10-15 years that we could see that area right now, cows and horses, completely transformed. And actually, it could be an interesting growth area. The infrastructure there with that bypass and the interstate access and Route 11 being right there, I mean, it could be a very attractive piece of land in the very near future.
Yeah, for folks in Charlottesville who probably haven't seen a big, nice new road in a long time, you can go to Stanton and ride. They have a new bypass that's gorgeous. I don't know where they got the money for that, but it's beautiful. And
well, we had a VDOT, a representative on the Commonwealth Transportation Board who lived in Stanton, who was a very fierce advocate for Stanton, and somehow this bypass, which, if you ask anybody who lives here, was not at all needed, connects 81 at a couple of different junctures about 5 miles apart and goes through town, and it's a nice loop, and, you know, maybe in 20 years we'll need it, but in the meantime, it's a nice big stretch of road that, yeah, if you're in Charlottesville and you're out for a Sunday, you got for a Sunday drive, come over here and drive our bypass.
Yeah.
You won't see a lot of traffic, but you'll see nice roads.
Yeah, it's not really used that much. Chris Graham is the founder and editor of the Augusta Free Press. Chris, before we let you go, wasn't there a big shopping center planned for Stanton right there at the entrance to the Frontier Culture Museum?
Oh yeah, you're right. And I'm trying to get an update on that. I believe it's called the Alasaw, right there at the Frontier Culture Museum. Actually, on Frontier Culture Museum property, they're going to be, private development group, I believe up in Maryland, I'm trying to contact, that, I think work on that's supposed to be getting going very soon. And I mean, what I've been told, I don't know exactly where it is right now. I'm trying to track this down, but, potentially later this year, maybe in the fall, we can start seeing some people move in there. So there's that. And then across the road, the city of Stanton has already worked out a deal with the state. They've been finalizing the details on the takeover of that Western State property. Basically what's going to happen there is, the current Western State Hospital site is going to move to a different location on that property, and the city is going to be able to develop a 260 to 270 acre parcel there for retail and commercial space. So, that end of town, which is already pretty bustling, is going to be even more so 4 or 5 years from now.
Chris Graham of the Augusta Free Press online at AugustaFreePress.com. Chris, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Coy.
The Valley Update. Quick break. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.